You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you into our second hour of the John Chuckery Show on this Wednesday night, keeping it warm for Chuckery. I hope we won't tear up anything or whatnot. And like I said, I do have this brown liquor hour that's coming up later on. I don't know what that entails or what goes on, if we get in any trouble for doing that or not. Well, that's it. Yeah, Jarvis on the other side of the glass making suggestions. No. No. Jarvis on the other side of the glass is the lawyer, Albany State man. We got a guest in studio who's from the arch rival when you get to that part of Georgia. Tyrone Poole, friend of the show, joins us tonight. I'm glad that you had a chance to come in and felt like stopping by and giving us a shot. Always good to catch up with you, man.
Always, always, Sam. Like you said, the second hour, the second half. So we got to make halftime adjustments and carry and finish this game on out.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Always great to catch up with you. I know this time of year brings some special memories for you and camp. And I don't know if you are a camp person. Some folks look forward to camp. Some folks dread it.
Yeah.
As it's 90 degrees and flies flying around you and you're hot and the person you keep going up against is aggravating you. But you know it's a necessary thing you have to do. What was always your takeaway, the thing?
I'm telling you, like you said, you named everything back in the day that they used to do. The athletes today, man, it's almost like the country club. You know,
you think so, man?
With the collective bargaining agreement and how many days they can practice consecutively, and then they got to take off. I'm like, I didn't play during the days where I heard some guys say they had 3-a-days.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm glad I kind of was in the middle. Yeah. You know, we did have 2-a-days, but you know, those hot summer days. And again, you know, playing with the Panthers, the first team I played with, I remember our first training camp. In 95, which was the inaugural season for the Panthers. Man, it was hot in Spartanburg. I think the temperature might have been about, with the humidity, about 105, and you put that equipment on, it's even hotter. So, man, those dog days, I don't miss those at all. Miss those paychecks, though.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? You know, and the guys are getting that and even more of that with less of that. Is less better? Can less better? Yeah. Be better for today's player as far as being prepared for the season to start?
You know what? I think so. I think with training, off-season training, OTAs, you know, football is now 365. You know, it's always been a business, so to speak, but now athletes are training year-round because the NFL is like revolving doors. I mean, it's like walking into Neiman Markups. I mean, I'm sorry, Neiman Markets. Revolving doors,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
go in for one price, and next thing you know, you're coming back out. You're like, what? I've been cut already? Kind of like what's the movie, Major League?
Yeah, right.
I've been cut already?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, things have changed, and we're talking about that with camp. And you want to, of course, you can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 447-410-929. You can join in our conversation as well, 447-410-929, with our in-studio guest, Tyrone Poole. Thoughts about the fact that the players that a lot of people want to see, because people are all excited about football starting, but you watch the preseason games and it doesn't take you long to figure out, okay, the guys I really want to see are not out here playing. Is that going to continue to be a trend that we see less and less of the starters, the guys who especially the owners have made the investments in actually playing in the preseason games?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great fumble recovery right there, Sam. That's a great pickoff, an interception, pick six. But that's a great observation. Guys, you know, fans get ready for it. I think it's going to continue to be a trend because your star athletes, you know, the name of the game is to win during the season, not preseason. You know, I've been a part of a team where we lost all of our preseason games and came back and went to the Super Bowl. You know, so how important, you know, it's the preseason. And if you get your key guy goes down or goes into the season banged up, because each game in the NFL is very tough. You know, we break it down in like quarters, four quarters. Each four games, we try to go 3-1 at least. That's a 12-4 record. But I think you're going to see that trend continue.
Yeah, that's the thing you have. So if that's the case, then is it still the third game that you get to see most of the guys on the field at least for one quarter or at least a half. Is that still going to be the norm?
Yeah, now I think that will continue. That's one part of the game that probably won't fade away. The fans can't expect that. Now, maybe we're trying to tell the fans don't show up into the third game.
but you know what? But they bought tickets, though.
Yeah.
They paid their money for the tickets for the other game. And, I mean, a real fan knows what to expect to a degree, that they're not going to get to see Matt Ryan play tomorrow night for a long time. You know the third game you're going to get to see him play probably the first quarter and maybe a good bit of the second quarter of that third game.
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, the third game is still, I think, going to be that traditional game where they, you know, let the starters go out, because I do think you got to have that continuity going into the season. You got to knock the dust off, like picking up a book. You know, you got to blow on it, get that dust off, and then 1 week away from the opening game.
Yeah, yeah. Tyrone Poole in studio played the Carolina Panthers, started, and then got two Super Bowl rings with the New England Patriots. And I'm going to ask you about those two quarterbacks.
But make sure you tell everybody, now I'm from Georgia now. I'm from
LaGrange,
Georgia.
Oh, yeah, LaGrange, Georgia. I know it's LaGrange. You're talking LaGrange.
I went to Fort Valley State, too.
And we're going to mention some Fort Valley State, too. it's Jarvis on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, Albany State Jarvis, SIAC.
Yeah, a big smile on his face. You two quarterbacks now in Carolina. And your former teammate up in New England, how much would you play those guys in the preseason? Talking about Cam Newton, and he's coming back from something, and Brady, he just turned 42. How much do you need to see these guys play in a preseason game?
You don't. I don't think you need to see them play. You know, the receivers, the quarterbacks, they work on their routes and the continuity and the timing during practice. So, you know, I've always felt that great teams win games in practice, because you go up against your guys, the tougher the defense makes it for the offense, the easier it is in the game. So I think you don't need to play, a Matt Ryan or Cam Newton or Tom Brady during the preseason, because these guys have shown what they can do. I was looking at some of Matt Ryan's records, and I think he's only a few touchdowns away from, a big PR, so to speak, with 300 and 50,000 yards or so. So, you know, Matty Ice, you know, as they say, he's shown that he can do it. He just, you know, get in that playoff and get them Falcons back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, got to get that offensive line working and take good care of him like Brady gets all the time up in New England. Yeah,
stay off his butt. That'll help.
It does. We're spending time in the studio, here in the Kia Studios. Tyrone Poole is here. We're going to talk some training camp, going to talk some football tonight with him, and share some of his experiences and his thoughts on what he wants to see. In your position now, obviously, as someone who's in camp at corner, you want to see guys in certain things you want to accomplish this time of year. What would those things be?
Yeah, well, you just named the toughest position in football, especially with these rules. These rules, it's tough to be a corner. You just want to make sure that you have the continuity with your teammates, because everybody knows the plays. You know, everybody knows the responsibilities, the adjustments. It's just getting back the familiarity of hollering in, or out, or you tackle him. I'm not going to, as a corner, you know, hey, you tackle him. But talking to the linebackers when I say that. But just the continuity, the footwork, and just the feel of putting the pass on, and just, you know, the flow of the game.
Yeah, that's what we watch for, and everyone. Advice you would give to somebody in camp, and usually in camp there's always a rookie that comes into a veteran, and like, what advice would you always give them?
Oh, that's a good one, Sam. That's another good one, man. I tell people all the time, whether it's college, high school. You know, my son is playing football for the first time, tackle football. He's like a fish out of water right now, but the talent is there.
Okay.
But what I normally tell young people, whether it's college, high school, college, or pros, I tell them to go find a veteran, like you said, but find someone of the opposite position.
Okay.
But in the same vicinity, same zip code. So if I'm a corner, let me go find a safety. Because that safety, the reason why I say that safety doesn't have a fear of me taking his job.
Okay.
But if I go try to find another corner, you know, I'm asking, hey, how do you get to Starbucks? Well, you know, you go down the street, turn left. He ain't gonna tell me West Street. He's just gonna say go down the street, turn left. So he's not gonna give me all the information I need. But that safety who has no fear of me, he gonna tell me, hey, take five steps here, and then you're gonna see a green trash can, make a left, it's right there. So I always tell young people, try to find that veteran of the opposite position.
Competition.
Competition is crazy. Especially this day and age. Taking food off the table.
Well, but it starts earlier because you see it starts even from, like you said, your son's playing now from a certain level up. You want to learn, and everyone sees someone coming out there, exactly. Especially if they got some gifts. You say, okay, I don't want this guy coming in and moving in on my turf.
Exactly.
And that's big when you talk about it at that level because, like you said, you are taking food off the table for sure. We saw some guys play last week for the Falcons and in the very first preseason game, which is the Hall of Fame game, which very few of the starters at all got
and
a chance
all
to play. And they did some impressive things, and that was nice, but you got to understand who they were going up against. This week, it gets a little more for real for some of those players. And those are some things you watch when you go in, and you know the competition is going to be a little bit stiffer. How did you approach those things when you were a young player coming into the league?
Ooh, what a good thing about me, Sam. I guess I kind of knew I was going to build a team. I just need to stay healthy, you know.
Right, right.
But seriously, even as a starter, I always came into the game, each training camp, realizing that, it's revolving doors, you know, because, they're always looking for someone to replace someone, and that's why they had these preseason games, not only for the money, that's the other thing, but, also to try to pick up some talent that, can help them win games. But, this game here, second game, evaluation is going to be deeper, more hourglass, a magnifying glass. They're going to be magnified each mistake because it's going to be time to cut down. They got to cut down. And, but the great thing about today's football, they got so many leagues that are about to come up. So, guys can, I think the XFL, trying to come up in 2020. So some of these guys are playing, maybe not to play in the NFL no more, but maybe the XFL. So they're always trying to put on a performance.
Yeah, they want to do that. They have a get a chance to play the game. All right, folks, talk Falcons, talking training camp. Tyrone Poole is here.
Hey.
Coming up next, we're going to check in with an old colleague of mine who keeps an eye on things with the Falcons now, with the CW, host Falcons Inside the Locker Room post-game show, Randy Waters. Coming up next, me and Tyrone Poole into the John Chuckery Show on a Wednesday night on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios on a Wednesday night, sitting in for John Chuckery. Sam Crenshaw got Tyrone Poole in studio. And we've been talking some football, talking some training camp. And, man, I tell you what, I'm so excited to have this guy on the show that's coming up next. Spent a lot of time working with him. He's a friend. And he keeps an eye on things with the Falcons. Why? Because he hosts Inside the Falcons, Falcons Inside the Locker Room post-game show on the CW. And it's Randy Waters joining us on the way. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I'm pretty slow on a Wednesday night here in North Georgia.
You just taking it easy as the calm before the storm because you got to go to work tomorrow night. But you've been working all alone, getting set and prepared for this season with the Falcons. Randy, your thoughts on your thoughts and observations on what you've seen from this team so far. What, if anything, did you take away from the game up at Canton last week?
Boy, I don't think I took much out of that game other than, half the town of Barberton, Ohio, was there for John Kaminsky.
Yep.
And he was all over the place, that's for sure. And I saw some, our old friend Brian Baldinger.
Yep.
He does such a fantastic job on his breakdowns that he does online on social media. And I saw one of his, he kind of focused on Chris Lindstrom, and there were a couple comments, where Lindstrom had moved to take a guy downfield, a couple yards downfield, and the guy, indeed, the guy did trip. But the point was Lindstrom was where he was supposed to be, and that's not all that easy in the zone blocking scheme. It's not all that easy to pick up right away. And, anybody who's seen a lot of the zone blocking scheme or talked to coaches will tell you that the hard part of it is the guy coming from the weak side. And it appears that Lindstrom is a guy who's picked that up pretty quickly. in that scheme. I'm talking about the outside zone blocking scheme. Although, you know what, Chris Morgan's got to think the jinx is on. With Caleb McGarry going through what he's gone through, and we don't know when he's coming back. James Carpenter's down. So now you're not going to have an opportunity, at least at this point in the preseason, to see Carpenter get snaps and Brown get snaps, Jamon Brown, because you'd kind of like to look at both those guys against the opponent's number ones. You'd like that opportunity, but that's not going to happen, at least in this. I'm still treating this as preseason game one. You know, the Hall of Fame scrimmage is over.
And that's what a lot of people think. And Tyron and I were talking about that earlier. It's just a trend we're going to see less of the guys at frontline, guys seeing less of them in the preseason games because we started seeing last year, Randy, so little of some certain players, and Julio comes out and tells you ahead of time, I'm not playing any of them.
Exactly.
Your thoughts on that and the fact that, yeah, you want to protect your guys for the regular season, but you do want to get some snaps with the full unit in a game condition.
I know. It's a risk. I guess the higher of the two risks is the injury factor, so that's why we're not seeing much of them. I did see a fascinating stat that the organization that in general over the years has played their ones the most in the league is that outfit up in Foxborough, Mass. And they seem to be on to some things that work rather well. So it is fascinating, and it just never ceases to amaze me what guys used to go through. I don't want to sound like the old guy. Well, hey, in the old days, you know, but Dave Archer and I were talking about it, and, you know, they used to go, I'm not saying it was a good thing, but it was the way it was. They used to go twice a day in pads, and he was talking about Scott Case came in there 1 year, like 197. And he was down to 179 after a couple days, and he was packed in ice.
Wow.
So you don't—that's the extreme. But is the other extreme of not seeing any? Some of them not seeing any action as a unit. Is that also has some drawbacks? But it's easy for me to say I'm not the coach or the general manager whose job depends on Julio being healthy on September 8th.
Hey, Randy, got a couple of questions for you, Tyron Poole here. Being at the camp with the Falcons, and as always, you know, as a player, former player, you're always looking for that one person that stands out. Who has been the most impressive defensively and speaking from the secondary standpoint other than Isaiah Oliver and Desmond Trufant?
Yeah, well, True's been a little gimpy. I mean, he's certainly had some reps before he came up a little gimpy here the last couple, 3 days. You know, Tyrone, John Kaminsky is so intriguing. You know, I'm not sure whether intriguing translates to impressive. I guess it does because you see this guy do things and you still go, wait a minute, this was a Division II guy, didn't have any Division I offers. I think one of the keys there is, does he have the flexibility to play inside and outside? Now, it'll be fascinating to see whether Dan Quinn tries to do that with him from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
He probably won't. But on the other hand, maybe he nor anyone else expected Kaminsky to be all over the field like he was in the Hall of Fame game. And when you say impressive, I mean, 97's always impressive. 97's impressive when he walks on the field. So, I mean, talk about fortunate that they were able to come to terms and get that thing put away. And, well, you know, at least, hey, how'd you like to be Dallas? And, of course, they got the Zeke thing going on. And do you think the training staff at Oakland is in trouble after they, you know, AB didn't have the right kind of footwear on when he was in the cryo chamber, and now he's got frostbite or whatever?
Who gets blamed for that?
I know. Right?
I got three words: only the Raiders.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But one more question, if I may. If I got to get one more question,
come on.
All right, I'm beginning to enjoy this talking with Randy. Now, we know going into this season here, I do believe as a former player that, you know, Coach Quinn has a lot of pressure on him.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So how – what is the mindset of the team, like in practice? Do you see a sense of urgency that the team is feeling that, hey, we got to do this for Coach Quinn this year? Or do you see the same, like, mindset, attitude from years past?
I, you know, Tyrone, I don't know if I see it, quote, for Coach Quinn. I think I see the Matt Ryans and the Devontae Freemans and the Julio Jones and the Deion Jones, for that matter, obviously younger than the guys I just mentioned, the first three guys I mentioned there. And Keanu Neal, I think the reality and the impact of how short these windows are to achieve great things. If you feel you have the right personnel in place, and they do feel they have the right personnel in place. And so, but I think this year, I think I saw and felt the reality of the windows short. You just never know. And we all know what happened in the 16 Super Bowl, all right? But then you got back to the playoffs. Well, I don't think complacency was a factor last year, but we all know some other factors, injuries and so on. But I think now that you're, you know, this is the third season removed from that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So that hangover, you know, that's never going to go away in the history of the franchise. That's always going to be brought up. Mm-hmm. But for the players who are on the field, and on that field in that training camp and getting ready for this season, I don't think it's a hangover, but I think I think that light has gone on that the window is so short. Of course, unless you're New England, and then you're in a real rut, aren't you? You know, every year. But I do think, Tyrone, that the light's gone on there, or come back on, maybe I should say. I don't know that at this level, I don't know that in the NFL, and you would know better than I, that you're going to get a let's do it for the coach type scenario. But I do think they love playing for him. And hey, the reality in this business at this level is if you love playing for a guy, you better play well enough to win to keep that guy there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep. Great to spend some time tonight with Randy Woods. You can follow him, by the way. He is social. He is on Twitter at Randy Sports, all lowercase. On the CW, Falcons inside the locker room. And you're not in Miami. I know how much you just disappointed because you love going to those preseason games in Jacksonville and Tampa and Miami. Randy, you just love going to those games. But you're not.
Well, to paraphrase the late, great Dean Wormer, flat, hot, and humid is no way to go through life. anyway. Yeah. Hey, by the way, speaking of social media, there is a Falcons player that does zero social media. Do you know who that is?
Whoa. Who was that?
Zero.
That's a million-dollar
question.
That is
Giorgio Tavecchio.
He says, I
don't do social media.
Not yet.
Not yet, but you know what? I mean, now, Tyrone, you know kickers are a different breed.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, and the most important thing sometimes for a kicker is what's between the ears, and maybe if there's less going on social media between the ears, maybe that's a good thing.
Well, we'll see how that goes once he start kicking those last-second winning field goals for the Falcons and them jerseys start selling and he get a company.
That's what we're looking for. Randall, what do we see on the show tomorrow night? What are you going to have for us?
Well, I mean, I'm doing the post-game show, hosting the post-game show live, so we will go back down to Miami right after the game ends, and we'll visit with Justin Kutcher and Coy Wire, get their thoughts from the booth on what they saw and who they thought stood out, you know, good, bad, ugly, whatever, and also from DJ Shockley. From down in Miami. And Shock, of course, will be on the sideline, as will Jen Hale. And we'll hear from Shock and talk about those things. And then by that time, Arch will be ready in the locker room with Coach Quinn and some players live with them so we can kind of get a take on, you know, first time out of the gate. When I say first time, again, you know, I know they played last Thursday in Canton, O-H-I-O. had to get that in.
Yep.
But this kind of seems like the curtain raiser, because, you know, we'll see some of the ones for at least some snaps.
Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to. Hey, thanks so much for the time tonight. Always a treat to catch up with you, my friend. You know, always good to hear you, and we'll be watching you tomorrow night. Thanks so much for some time and being on the show with me, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Randy.
I enjoyed it. You guys take care.
All right. That is Randy Waters. Of course, he'll be hosting the Falcons postgame show on the CW tomorrow night. Falcons inside the locker room, hopefully reporting some good news from Miami. You can follow him once again on Twitter at Randy Sports. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk more football. Then we're going to talk about a college game that's going to take place over in Athens. I was over in Athens yesterday. And what would you do if a friend of yours that you usually watch the game with is not going to show up for a certain game this year, but for a special reason? That's coming up when we come back. The John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. I got Tyrone Pula, in-studio guest.
Hey, hey.
Here on the John Chuckery Show. And Ken Roundtree is hanging around for a special reason. As we hit this hour, we're just talking, and thank Randy Waters for joining us. Always good to talk with him and talk Falcons camp, and as we get set for the Falcons and the Dolphins tomorrow night, a game that you can hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 7:30. It's the Falcons down on South Beach, going to get things done in the second game of the preseason. Okay. College football season is coming up, and as University of Georgia fans look at this upcoming schedule, a certain game leaps off the page as it should, and that is the matchup coming up against Notre Dame. It's it's a big game, and it's something that people have been talking about and pointing to for as long as that game has been made. We know what the site was like up at South Bend 2 years ago when Georgia went there and turned Notre Dame Stadium into a sea of red. And so September 21st in prime time, the Fighting Irish will come to Sanford Stadium for the first time. And the Notre Dame folks are going to come to town.
Yes.
In force. Now, they've been to Atlanta a few times because they have a history with Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. but never to Sanford. And I just posted on my personal Twitter account, Sam Crenshaw 23. What if a friend of yours and a fellow Georgia season ticket holder let you know that they were not going to be at this game, this once-in-a-lifetime experience?
Once-in-a-lifetime.
Because they're going to sell their tickets to a Fighting Irish fan.
Mm.
What you think about that? I was in Athens yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I talked with some folk over there. Well, I don't get over there that much these days because I'm working with Georgia State Radio Network.
Busy man.
And so I don't get a chance to get over. So I was good chance that I was over that way. Whereas I was over to Coney County to talk with the high school coach. Let me go by Athens and deal with some people. And I'm finding out that houses are being rented out that weekend for between $5,000 and $10,000.
Sound like the Super Bowl.
Or the Masters.
Mm.
As a chance to make some cash here, folks.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be funny if you turn on TV and you see all that gold and green and blue in the stands at Sanford Stadium?
Irish.
They're coming to town, and they're coming with money, and they're going to want your ticket, and they'll pay. I'm looking at Empire tickets. They got the top price for tickets, $7,000.
$7,000. Whoa.
Yeah, but very Merry Christmas in Aruba. And I'm looking at Ken Roundtree, and Ken's got this look on his face like, what, Ken, what do you say if a friend of yours lets you know what, man, I got these season tickets, but I can't miss out on this.
We're not friends anymore.
That's what I said.
We're not friends anymore because so many of the national media gave Notre Dame fans crap when we went up there 2 years ago for selling all their tickets to Georgia fans. Mm-hmm. It made them look bad. It was basically a home game for Georgia. It was nothing but red all up in Notre Dame Stadium. If I had a friend that had season tickets to UGA games, and you're selling it to a Notre Dame fan
for some good money. Yeah, now you
don't matter.
You're just giving it to them.
Sell it to a Georgia fan. They'll pay.
The Notre Dame fan is coming.
Uh-uh.
Notre Dame fan might pay you more.
No.
Green coats are coming.
4,000, huh?
Green coats are coming. But they said red coats are coming. The green coats are coming.
What y'all think about this? 4-4-7-4-1-0-9-2-9. Could this cost you a friendship? if you got a friend that's usually at your games on Saturdays and you find out that they're going to – because this money is out here.
Yeah, it's out there.
It's out, and the Notre Dame folk – and really don't have to come that far. There's a bunch of Notre Dame folk already live here.
Yeah,
and they got a strong alumni here in Atlanta. But, I mean, they're like the New York Yankees of college football. And, I mean, that's the history that they have. Now, I don't think this team is going to be that good.
Yeah.
Personally, I think Georgia going to beat them and won't have a problem with them. But just the idea that it's Notre Dame in Sanford Stadium, we've never seen that before, and we don't know if we will see that again.
But
how can you part – if you got season tickets for that game, can you part with those tickets?
Well, you know what they say this day and time, money talks and all the other stuff walks. You know, I'm just looking up, you know, what can you do with $5,000? I know you just said the ticket's going up to $7,000.
Yeah.
I'm looking at $5,000. You can pay off some debt. Tell your friend, you know what? You got some debt. I get the ticket. I help you pay it off. He said, okay, well, you missed this game.
But it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. That's what we're saying. It's a game, but it's not just any other game. In this day and time when college teams are really being selective, more selective about who they play their non-conference games because it matters more, and that's because of the playoff.
Right.
Because of the college football playoff, it matters who you play in your non-conference games, you know, and this is a different level. Really, quite frankly, than Georgia has usually faced in the past with non-conference. This is a different level.
I understand that, Sam, but here's my rebuttal to that. Now, we all know it's all about money, right?
Yeah.
So if Georgia and Notre Dame put on a great show, they'll be back playing each other, if not next year, the year after.
They don't let it get them on schedule that fast.
But let them pack the house and let them sell merchandise. Yeah, money talks and everything.
I mean, that's hard to do with Notre Dame because Notre Dame's are independent. They're not affiliated with the conference.
Okay.
And there's certain games that they always keep on their schedule. They always keep Stanford on their schedule. They always keep Southern Cal on their schedule. Mm-hmm. They've got Michigan back on their schedule. They have them on almost every year. They usually always play the military academies, Army, Navy. You know, so it's usually certain games. And now they got to play 5 ACC games every year because they're like a de facto member of the ACC, which mm-hmm. means they'll be in Atlanta to play Tech, but they won't go back to Athens. And so for that reason, do you pass up on this opportunity that's coming up on October 21st if you already have your ticket in order to make some money for some folks wearing some green and blue?
Let me ask you a question, Sam.
Yeah.
If Notre Dame was going into Alabama, you think those Alabama fans are selling their tickets? I don't think so.
Well, see, Alabama's played them a bunch of times before.
Doesn't matter.
If they're coming
into Alabama, ain't no way Alabama fans are selling those tickets.
Now, I got to agree with you. You know, I guess the listener's going to be like, well, Tyrone, you bipartisanship. I'm splitting the sea. But I agree with you. You know, and I think it's all about the actual climate. The actual environment, you know, like Alabama, you know, you got teams, because we're talking about the pros, like Green Bay, New England, you know. It's just how do you feel about the love of the team? Like you take the Falcons. I think the Falcons would probably sell their tickets if they knew, you know, you know what I mean?
They sell the Saints fans all the time.
Saints fans or Steelers fans or Packers, they used to come down here and get into games here in Atlanta. But you know they'll be back at some point. In another season or two, they'll be back again. This is something we don't know that we're going to see again.
Yeah,
and especially with Georgia being where they are, the importance of this game, especially when you talk to the playoff folk at the end of the mm-hmm. year for the playoff committee for the college football championship, which Georgia is one of those teams that wants to be in. That's the other thing that makes this game mean so much. Yes, it's Notre Dame. Yes, it's great college football tradition. Yes, it's something we don't get to see here. But also because of what it means to the team down the road, potentially, of getting into that 14 playoff and having a chance to see Alabama again or see Clemson and face them in the championship game. So, I mean, those are the things. And you got a chance to witness that.
Yeah.
You already have the season ticket. But you know if you sell this thing to the – Ken's
just shaking his head.
It makes me sick, man.
He's not having a good time with that because, to me, that's all a part of it.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I understand, I take in everything you're saying. I agree with you, Sam. And Ken, I agree everything. But does it mean less if Georgia doesn't get into the college football playoffs? You know, they play in Notre Dame and, you know, you
– Well, that's part of why you have a team like that on your schedule. That's why teams are looking to have more teams like that to get high profile.
But you know what I mean? Like if they don't make it.
Yeah.
Then people look back and say, man, I should have sold my tickets.
No. I think you still want to be there just because it's a team that we don't normally get to see. I personally want to see how them big linemen hold up in late September down here because we have a little heat and humidity that night. I want to see what they look like in the third or fourth quarter. That could be real interesting, too. We can head up for the next hour. Tyrone, you hang out for a little bit longer.
Yes, sir.
We're going into the next hour. We're going to talk more. And you got something very special you want people to come out to tomorrow
very
night.
Very special.
We're going to get into that as well as we continue. On this Wednesday night, the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.